Live Creative Now, episode 69.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that I am hosting a free creativity workshop online tomorrow, Thursday, August 11th. If you have a hard time getting yourself to do the creative things that you would most love to be doing, this workshop is for you. You will learn the surprising truth about why you feel resistance to the thing you love to do. You will also learn how to make every creative block your friend. I'm not kidding about that. It's kind of magical. And you will learn the unexpected science of how creative play affects the brain. And I'm telling you, you will never look at creative play in the same way again. The last time I offered this workshop, I got this email. Somebody, Sandy, wrote, "I'm halfway through your Born to Create webinar replay and bam, hallelujah chorus and everything. Why in the world has it taken me so long to hear this? The whole resistance thing? Bingo, totally makes sense. I've read the books on resistance and blah, blah, blah. They were good, but never connected this the way you have." Thank you, Sandy Moss, for writing that. I really appreciate it. Lots of people have contacted me after these workshops to say what a change they have made for them. It's totally free. I won't be asking you for any money at any part of the workshop. However, if you stick around to the end, I do have a free gift for you. And yes, actually two free gifts. And yes, there will be a replay for, I believe it's 72 hours, a very limited time, but the link to the replay will only go to people who register. So go do that at freecreativityworkshop.com. That's freecreativityworkshop.com, all one word. So with that out of the way, my last episode, episode 68, was all about imperfectionism. And if you are new to that term and it has you scratching your head or maybe thinking that it means settling for mediocrity, if you were to practice imperfectionism, you definitely need to listen to that episode because that is not what imperfectionism is about at all. So that's episode 68. Today, episode 69, we are talking about the dangers of coloring books. So my Creative Sandbox community members, I have this online community called the Creative Sandbox, and a subset of the members, including myself, have been up to something pretty cool that I am really excited to share with you. We are collaborating to co-produce together an adult coloring book. And here is an excerpt from what I wrote in the book's introduction. This book is a labor of love and courage, a collaborative project and gift to you from 17 members of a very special group, the Creative Sandbox community. It's a labor of love because we are selling the book at cost. None of us is making a profit from our work. It was a fun project for us to undertake, and it feels good to be able to gift our creativity to you. It's a labor of courage because sharing creative work can be scary, even for self-defined artists, and not everyone who contributed would define herself as an artist. Those who contributed, despite their fears, did so because inside the Creative Sandbox community, we practice creative courage. We do this first by sharing our creations inside our private Facebook group, artwork, writing, music, and anything else we create. Even inside the safe container, sharing creative efforts can be scary at first, but the way to get over fears is to do the very thing that scares you. And here's a secret. The more you do something, the more normal it becomes. Eventually, sharing inside our sacred space on Facebook starts to feel easy and normal, which means it's time to seek out bigger pastures like this book. And yikes, that's scary because it's new. But we encourage and champion each other inside the Creative Sandbox. And I specifically set up this project as an opportunity for each of us to practice imperfectionism, forgiving ourselves for being human. I'm thrilled that these 17 members all decided to contribute in spite of any fears. That is creative courage at work. That is from the introduction to the book. And we are at the final stages of getting the book laid out and just starting to tackle the technical hurdles of dealing with ISBN codes and CreateSpace and Amazon and having a proof made, et cetera, et cetera. And I will not lie, it is a lot of work, and I will be so glad when it's done and the book is out in the world for you to play with. So here I'm publishing a coloring book. So why on earth would I title this episode The Dangers of Coloring Books? What the heck is that about? Well, here's the thing. I have a lot of conflicted feelings about coloring books. First of all, I have to confess that although, you know, it can be meditative, coloring is not the thing that really excites me personally. I am much more excited by creating a design from scratch. And as Jonathan Fields writes in his book, Uncertainty, which I highly recommend, and there will be a link in the show notes to the book, the creative process can be divided into two phases. There's the insight phase, where you're connecting dots, making discoveries, and coming up with solutions. And there's the refinement, expansion, and production phase, or REP, R-E-P for short. And that phase is where you are, well, refining, expanding, and producing from an existing idea or design. And whatever you're creating, you have to go through both of these phases to get to completion. You have to have the insight phase, you have to have an idea to begin with, you have to solve whatever problem it is, and then you have to produce the thing, right? And here's the thing. For each of us, one of those two phases really charges us up, but the other one sucks us dry. Now, you might be really good at both of them, but it's rare that both of those phases truly energize you. Now, me, I'm an insight gal. I love being in that discovery, connecting the dots and solving problems phase. And that is why I'm so in love with improvisational art forms, because they allow me to sort of conflate the two phases together so that I'm discovering at the same time that I'm producing. I love that. Whether I'm painting or making music or doing theatrical improv, which I love to do as well, the thing is being created at the same time that I am discovering and solving problems. When I am in the rep phase on its own, it totally sucks the life out of me. It is boring. And this really hit home for me big time. It was almost 20 years ago when I made my first edition of an artist book. It was maybe 1999, I think, and I was in a class with an incredible artist and teacher named Shireen LaPlance, who unfortunately is no longer alive. And Shireen was a book artist who made her artist books in editions that were never any smaller than 300. So after I spent days figuring out the design, and you'll see a picture of this book. It was called The Little Star Book. And it's a tiny little book that was, I think it was about an inch by an inch and a half or something. It was really small. And I spent days figuring out the design and the engineering of it. And it took a lot of problem solving and figuring. It was really challenging. And I thought, oh gosh, you know, 300, that's too much for me. So I'll go easy on myself and I'll do an edition of 100. I was thinking, and I would need to do that to recoup my materials and supplies expenses. And I bought this big GoCo machine in order to make the edition. So I wanted to recoup that cost and everything. So an edition of 100, I sold them for $25 a piece. So I'd make $2,500, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, that was such a huge mistake. I don't know how many I assembled. It was not very many. Before I realized I hate this. And, you know, part of that became sort of fun because I was working out a system to, like, a production line to make it as efficient as possible. And that was kind of a fun challenge and an interesting problem to solve. But man, I got so bored doing the same darn thing over and over and over again. And I would bind them in little batches of maybe 5 or 10 or something. And over the years, I think maybe I bound 80 altogether, and I ultimately never finished the entire edition. I still have pieces of this little book that I'm never going to assemble because it makes me want to gouge my eyes out to do that kind of production work. I want to be creating in that insight phase. So what does this have to do with coloring? Back to coloring books here. There is a lot of creativity and insight that goes into coloring. You have to select the colors you're going to use and where you're going to use them and when and how you're going to blend them if you're going to do that. What kinds of tools and materials are you going to use? Are you going to use colored pencils or pens? Are you going to layer the colors? What are you going to do? But once the color scheme is figured out, if it's particularly if it's a repetitive pattern and there are lots of similar shapes that are going to end up being the same color, that kind of thing. Once the color scheme is figured out, then it becomes essentially an exercise in rep, in refinement, expansion, and production. It's a production issue. And I want to get on to the next problem to solve. Now, this experience is personal. This is not a global problem. Not everybody feels the same way I do. A lot of people are rep folks. And for them, production work is deeply satisfying and coloring might be very, very deeply satisfying, which is great. The problem that I have with coloring books really leaped into the forefront of my consciousness just a couple days ago when I was FaceTiming with my 6-year-old nephew and his mom, my sister-in-law. And my nephew had wanted to call me because he was super excited to show me some art that he'd made because, you know, his aunt Melissa is an artist. And so he held up some coloring pages that he did. There was a SpongeBob SquarePants and there was a garden. And my sister-in-law shared that when he showed her the garden, he said, "Doesn't this look like an adult did it?" Which is totally adorable. And it also kind of disturbed me because I remember being that age. He is going to first grade. And I remember first grade, second grade. That was the stage in life where I was really starting to compare my work with other people's work. And that's developmentally totally appropriate. But for me, and I know for a lot of other people, it's really a slippery slope from starting to notice other people's work and how it is different or similar to your own work and comparing your work negatively all the time. And I ultimately stopped making art entirely at age 13, thanks to the comparison trap. Now, for kids, coloring books can be really great for training, you know, small muscle coordination and being able to hold a pen and, you know, learning to color in the lines, technical facility, and working with colors and seeing how they combine on a page and things like that. Great, great learning. But it's also really easy for the focus to become all about technical execution, all about doing it right. And this is particularly true if the design represents a real scene or an object in the world. Then the game sort of becomes finding the most realistic colors in your box of markers or your box of crayons and staying inside the lines. Now, figuring out which colors in your box of markers or crayons is most realistic and noticing how that differs from reality, I mean, that's super interesting and useful, and you're learning a lot. The staying inside the lines, learning that technical facility is great, but it comes with a dose of training in conformity, doesn't it? And I really have conflicting feelings about anything that trains kids to conform, to do it just like everybody else did it, to always stay within the lines. And what does that sound like? That sounds a lot like always thinking inside the box. That is the antithesis of creativity. And it's not that coloring books aren't allowing kids to be creative. It's that the creativity they foster is limited. So now let's talk about adult coloring, which I'm also conflicted about. And first, I should say that if coloring gets someone started with creative expression who maybe didn't, you know, was afraid to do any other kind of artistic endeavor, this is such a good thing. It's great. It's a really accessible way to get people playing with color and playing with artistic supplies and tools and things. Where I have a problem is that I see a lot of colorists who get stuck there in this, well, I'm a colorist, but I'm not an artist. And I should say that what some, if you, you know, do a quick search on Google or Facebook or Instagram or something, what some colorists are doing in the realm of adult coloring is absolutely awe-inspiring. It totally blows my mind, well beyond my own facilities with color or with, you know, technical skill or whatever. And if you think about it, it's really a fabulous form of collaboration because, you know, you've got two artists contributing to a final product, and coloring is an artistic skill in its own right. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Plus, of course, there's the fact that some people are much more engaged by the rep phase of the creative process, and whether they get jazzed by coloring or by bulk addressing envelopes in calligraphy, which, by the way, is another rep phase task that makes my skin crawl, or if they get jazzed by anything else, you know, who am I to tell them they shouldn't hang out there? Or that the insight phase is somehow superior just because I like it better. Just because I prefer to be there doesn't mean that everybody should prefer to be there. Not at all. And in fact, perhaps coloring draws, no pun intended, perhaps coloring draws or attracts rep phase creatives. People who are more energized by refinement, expansion, and production. Maybe that is a form of art creation that fits them most comfortably, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's fabulous. What's important to me, though, is that people don't get stuck there, don't feel like anything else artistic is out of the range of possibility for them. That to me would be a tragedy. And also, what's important to me is that people don't get stuck in the feeling, the belief that coloring in a particular fashion, you know, skies are always pale blue and trees are always green and coloring outside the lines is a disaster, that anything, that is the only option available to them, that anything beyond that is transgressive and wrong. That's the problem that I have with it. And my other big concern about coloring books is that they can really be breeders of perfectionism. Yes, they're very good at getting, helping us get experience with how colors interact and training small motor skills as we learn to wield a pen or a crayon and stay inside the lines, but they reinforce staying inside the lines as the ultimate value. And again, this is the opposite of creative out-of-the-box thinking. And staying inside the lines can be such an intense focus that any straying beyond the lines feels like a massive failure. In fact, my best friend, when she was a kid, actually used whiteout, you know, liquid paper, correction fluid, to cover up, to fix her coloring books, to cover up the marks that went outside the lines. And for her, coloring books became a flog that she beat herself with. They were this painful proof to her, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes there, they were proof to her that she was not an artist. And she still carries those creativity scars to this day. But here's the thing. Coloring inside the lines of a coloring book is in no way a valid indicator of whether someone is an artist. But how many people end up like my friend, convinced that art is not for them because they couldn't stay perfectly inside the lines? And so they didn't try any other kind of artistic expression, ceramics or, you know, the kind of scribble art that I love to do, or finger painting, or, you know, whatever. There's so many different modes of creative expression that don't require the kind of staying inside the lines that coloring books tend to reinforce for us. And that really breaks my heart. Now, to be clear, I am not saying, and nor do I believe, that coloring books are by themselves to blame. They can, however, play right into already existing perfectionist tendencies. So what's the answer here? Well, it's certainly not to ban all coloring books. That would be ridiculous. Coloring books give millions of people so much joy and pleasure, and they can act as a sort of a gateway art. Again, air quotes, gateway art. They can be a great non-intimidating way to get people started with artistic tools. This is so fabulous. I love that. Some people may never go any further than that. They might be totally content to color other people's designs. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But my hope is that some people will be inspired to try other kinds of creative expression. Maybe create some things from scratch. This is one of the reasons, actually, that I love sharing my abstract black and white art and my abstract color art as well. I love showing that art because I want people to see that art isn't just photographic realism. It isn't just the kind of really refined precision that you'll find in a Johanna Basford coloring book. I love the art in Johanna Basford's coloring books. It's incredible. She's an incredible artist. And that's not the only way to be an artist. Art can be abstract. It can be weird. It can be messy looking. It doesn't have to be two-dimensional. And I love creating art. Personally, I love creating art that makes people think to themselves, hey, maybe I could do that. So, to sum up, I have conflicting feelings about coloring books, and I'm publishing one very soon. And I hope that you'll buy it. Remember, it's going to be published at cost, so it's going to be pretty cheap. And most of all, I really hope that it will inspire you to go beyond the lines. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'd love to hear your comments on my rant about the dangers of coloring books. You can leave a comment over at livecreativenow.com/069. And if you're getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends. And meanwhile, don't forget to sign up for tomorrow's free online workshop, Born to Create, Why Your Creative Play is Essential, Not Self-Indulgent, at freecreativityworkshop.com. That's freecreativityworkshop.com. Until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating! Mwah!
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.